good to be here together. Turn, if you would, to 2 Samuel, chapter 9. 2 Samuel, chapter 9. Tonight we'll be looking at Mephibosheth. We will see a picture of God's elect, and we'll see David as a type of Christ, and Mephibosheth as a type of God's elect. Mephibosheth, an interesting fellow. He was lame from a fall. We're lame from a fall. And we will see tonight, fetching grace at work. Fetching grace. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now David was now upon the throne. He was king. He's king. And he asked if there's any of the house of Saul left that he may show kindness to him for Jonathan's sake. And we'll look at the reasons why he said that later on. Now, whenever a new king came up, they would usually slaughter anyone who was left of the royal family. They didn't want anyone usurping the throne or anything like that. So right away, there's something different going on here. Right away. And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" That I may show the kindness of God unto him. And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel in Lodabar." Then King David sent and fetched him. Fetched him. He's lame. He can't come on his own. Fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. What happens to a sinner when he's brought to the realization of who he is and what he is and who God is? What a picture, beloved. And David said, "Mephibosheth," called him by name. And he answered, "Behold, thy servant." And David said unto him, "Oh, what comforting words." Now, he's before the king. He's before the king. He's probably thinking, "I'm going to lose my head." Fear not. Fear not. For I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Oh. And he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" What mercy. And this is the king showing mercy to one who claims himself to be a dead dog. Worthless. Then the king said to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, "I have given unto thy master's son all that pertaineth to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him. Thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son shall eat bread always at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, again he says this, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. What a picture. As one of the king's sons. An heir. Oh, what a picture, beloved. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. Now David here before us is a type of Christ. A type of Christ. He remembered a covenant that needed to be fulfilled. He's also a type of the Father, having mercy upon us too. But he remembered a covenant that needed to be fulfilled. Turn, if you would, to 1 Samuel chapter 20. And David said, though, in our text here, and David said, is there yet any left in the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Now David and Jonathan had made a covenant. The Father and the Son and eternity and the Holy Spirit have made a covenant. In 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses starting in verse 12. And Jonathan said unto David, O Lord God of Israel, when I have sounded my father about tomorrow any time or the third day, and behold, if there be any good toward David, and I then send not unto thee and show it thee, the Lord do so much, the Lord do so and much more to Jonathan, but if it please my father to do thee evil, then will I show it thee and send thee away, that thou mayest go in peace, and the Lord be with thee, as he hath been with my father. Now Jonathan and David, they loved each other. They loved each other, beloved. Verse 14, and thou shalt not only, well, yet I live, show me the kindness of the Lord, that I die not, but also thou shalt not cut off the kindness from my house forever. Forever? Forever. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies. And Jonathan caused David to swear again because he loved him, or he loved him as he loved his own soul. Now God the Father, the Holy Spirit, and the Son made a covenant in eternity past. And those people were given to Christ. And this is typical of Christ to his elect. He came to earth to redeem those who were given to him by the Father in eternity. He came to save his people from their sins, and he accomplished it. All because of a covenant. All because of a covenant. 2 Samuel 23:5 says this, he hath made with me an everlasting covenant. God has made with David an everlasting covenant, he says. Ordered in all things. Turn up, if you would, there. 2 Samuel 23:5. These are some of David's last words. Although my house be not so with God, right? His house was a mess. Yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant. And God has made an everlasting covenant through Christ with all his people. Look at this. Ordered in all things. God is a God of order. And here's a nail for us to hang on. And sure. Sure. This covenant is sure. Sure. Purchased by the blood of Christ. It's sure. Not many things in this world are sure. But this covenant is sure. For this is all my salvation. Is not Christ all your salvation? Is He not all your hope? We don't hope in anyone else, we who believe, do we? Only in Christ. He's all my salvation and all my desire, although He make it not to grow. Absalom wasn't one of the Lord's. His household was, as I said, there was all kinds of things going on. But that covenant was ordered and sure with David and with his people. And what great comfort that would bring us, we who believe. Now David purposed to fulfill a promise. And David ruled over all Israel, and he executed judgment and justice unto all his people. And he had the opportunity, being upon the throne now, he had the opportunity and the means to fulfill the promise, to fulfill the covenant. God has all the means to fulfill the covenant. Oh. And it says, and David said, is there yet any left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake because of the covenant that he made with Jonathan? David says this. And this is typical of Christ to his elect. Christ purposed at the right time to fulfill his promise to his chosen people. Right? He came into this world when it was God's appointed time, didn't he? Not a second later and not a second earlier. He was on a mission. And he came for the benefit of the sons of God when the fullness of time had come. Galatians 4:4. When the fullness of time had come. And to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember His holy covenant. And David desired to show the kindness of God to the recipient of the promise. Look at verse 3. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? Do we not see the kindness of God to sinners in Christ? Only in Him, eh? And think of this. Saul had severely mistreated David. Saul had offended David. Tried to kill him several times. Several times. But David will show kindness and not vengeance. Kindness and not vengeance. To Saul's house. Is this not typical of Christ to His elect people? We get kindness and mercy, don't we? David desired to show the kindness of God to Mephibosheth, and God shows the kindness of God in Christ to His chosen people. Turn, if you would, to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. And as I said, Mephibosheth was lame from a fall, right? He had no way to come to David on his own. No ability. Sounds a lot like us by our birth. But Titus says this about the kindness of God to His chosen people. Look at Titus chapter 3, verses 4 to 7. And remember today we looked at plenteous mercy and plenteous redemption that we have in Christ. Look at this. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man, appeared. The kindness and love of God of God, our Savior, being Christ. And in that verse that we all know too, not by works of righteousness which we have done, right? But according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of the regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Look at this, which He shed on us abundantly. Abundantly, not just a little bit. Abundantly. Through Jesus Christ our Savior. That being justified by His grace, not by any works, not by anything we've done. Right? If we're justified before God, it's by His grace. By His grace. You remember in our text too, it said that He'd be like one of the king's sons. That being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Heirs, beloved. Heirs. Undeserving sinners made heirs. Is this not the kindness and love of God in action? Manifested towards us? Think of this. In Christ is manifested the kindness and love of God. Because we are so undeserving. And yet He has mercy upon His people. All because of a covenant made in eternity. That's the only reason. And think of this. Think of this. I've been pondering this a little bit this week. And we don't know who God's people are. We don't have any clue. Right? But we who are God's people are born into this world as vessels of mercy, and we don't even know it. We have no clue. No clue. We're born dead in trespasses and sins, right? But God knows His sheep. He knows them. We are born alienated from God and enemies in our minds, but He knows every one of His sheep. Every one of them. We have no clue. This is why we proclaim the gospel and it goes forth. And He does the saving. And then we marvel in the fact that He saved us. Me? After the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. If you're saved, it's only by the mercy of God in Christ. And it's all because in eternity, God chose you in Christ to manifest His kindness and love toward His people. Boy, that takes everything away from the sinner, or from any of us deserving anything. That being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs. Made heirs. We don't become heirs on our own either. Made heirs, beloved. According to the hope of eternal life. And David retrieved the recipient of the promise. He retrieved the one who was, and it's a picture. Look at this in verse 5. He retrieved the one who was the recipient of the promise. Look at verse 5. And this is fetching grace, beloved. The old timers used to call it fetching grace. The Holy Spirit goes out and He fetches His people. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel from Lodabar. If you are saved, it's because God, by His Holy Spirit, fetched you and brought you to Christ. That's the only reason. Because God, the Holy Spirit, drew you. Why? Because of a covenant. That was made in eternity. And we had no clue. And you know that Mephibosheth wasn't even born? Some think that he wasn't born when that covenant was made. If that's true, what a picture for us too, right? This covenant was made for us before we were even born. We had no clue. No clue at all. So King David sent and bought him to himself. Christ likewise draws his elect to himself by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. He's like, we looked at it before, he's like the shepherd who goes out and seeks out the sheep. Right? Turn, if you would, to Luke 15. He's like the shepherd who seeks out, leaves the 99 and seeks out the one. But he's also like the woman who searches for her lost coin. Luke 15, verses 8 to 10. Until she searches for it, until she finds it. So does Christ for His elect. Look at Luke 15, verses 8 to 10. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Oh, what a picture we have before us. Fetching grace. David sought out Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth had no clue until those people came and got him and brought him to David. David sought him out, all because of a covenant. Now Mephibosheth is a type of the elect sinner. His name is defined utterance of shame. And this is typical of God's elect. In our native condition, we sinners are full of shame. Full of shame. Having fallen in Adam, we are spiritually dead. With nothing to cover our shame before God. Turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter 2. At the very end, verse 25, and then we'll go right into Genesis chapter 3. Nothing to cover our shame before God. Look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 25, and then we'll go to Genesis 3:10. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Putting doubt in her mind. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. That's nothing more than works-based salvation. Trying to cover themselves with fig leaves. That's what people are doing. Who are trusting in their own righteousness, who are trusting in their own dear, they're doing nothing but sowing fig leaves. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. They're in shame. Now Mephibosheth was incapable of coming to the king. Incapable of coming to the king. He was lame in both his feet. And his lameness was a result of the fall, or of a fall. Well, beloved, we are lame because of a fall. When Adam fell, we all fell in him. And this is typical of God's elect. In our native condition, like all other sinners, we are incapable of coming to Christ as a result of our fall, as a result of the fall in our federal head, in Adam. Crippled spiritually. Crippled spiritually. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 3 and then put your finger in John chapter 6. Crippled spiritually. John chapter 3 verse 20 and then John chapter 6 verse 44 and 65. John chapter 3 verse 20. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light. Hateth the light. Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Verse 44. Look at verse 44 and think of this in light of Mephibosheth. He couldn't come to David on his own, by his own power, could he? And look at this. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. And then look at 65. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Do you see the fallacy of religion which says it's all about your decision? How can one make a decision, supposedly, for Christ when they don't have the power to do it? Do you see the wonders of sovereign grace? The wonders that He draws His people, that He fetches them and brings them? The Holy Spirit draws us and fetches us and brings us before Christ. And we're given eyes to see and ears to hear that we never had before. And it's marvelous. Mephibosheth dwelt in a place with a name meaning no pasture. Lodabar. No pasture. Did we not dwell in a place at one time before the Lord saved us with no pasture? No pasture at all. But He makes us to lie down in green pastures. The green pastures of His Word. And we feast. We feast. We feast on the green pastures of His Word. No pasture. All Christ's sheep, apart from Him, confess that they live in a place with no pasture, in a dry land, in a weary land. And they confess that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good. Nothing good dwells in me. Rock of ages cleft for me. How do we come before God? With nothing in our hands. With nothing in our hands. Nothing. Look at verse 6. Mephibosheth humbled himself in the presence of the king. Right? The king fetched him. Now think of this. Think of this too. Now these kings, they had mighty men. Right? Mighty men. So picture him being brought down, say, at the center aisle. Right? And there's these mighty men. With their swords probably, and their hands on their swords. Mighty men of valor, generals, captains. And he's probably thinking, I'm dead. I'm being brought before the king. Oh, I'm done. And he trembled as they bring him forth, right? And they had to, remember, he couldn't walk. They must have had to carry him in, right? And so he's going by all these mighty men, and then he sees the king. And he's brought right into his presence. And now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence, and David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, Behold thy servant. And then look at verse 8 again. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon a dead dog such as I? Mephibosheth sees himself as nothing before the king. Is that not what happens to we who believe? Oh. But David, the king, think of this, sees in him the covenant he's made with Jonathan. Mephibosheth doesn't see that. He just thinks, he fell on his face and did reverence. What happens to God's people when they're being drawn to Christ? When the Holy Spirit fetches them? Do we not come before the King with reverence and just bow down before Him and see ourselves as nothing in His eyes? David sees in him the covenant he made with Jonathan. And oh, the mercy of God in Christ. The mercy of God in Christ. And David said unto him, Fear not. What does God say to the sinner who comes before Him in Christ? Fear not. Why? Because Christ paid it all. He paid it all. Oh, fear not. For I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan's sake. God the Father says, I'll show you kindness because of Christ to the believer. Right? And I will restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Oh, what mercy. What mercy the believing sinner who flees to Christ receives. Mercy undeserved. Fear not. Fear not. Christ has paid it all. There is therefore now no condemnation, right? That's hard for us to fathom sometimes, isn't it? Because we know what we are. There is therefore now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. What's the You have condemnation, right? In our natural state. And then you have complete forgiveness in Christ. Complete forgiveness. Fear not, beloved. Fear not, sheep of God. And why? Only because of what Christ has done. Right? Only because of, and we have the same, when we come before the king, we have the same reverence that way that Mephibosheth had. We're brought to an end of ourselves. And we can only look to our great king. And David said unto him, Fear not. And think of this. You know, like I said, they used to slay all, any heir, anybody left in the royal family. They would wipe them out back in those days. Fear not. What comfort for God's people, eh? What comfort for God's people in Christ. What a refuge we have in Christ. Outside of Christ, we don't. None has a refuge. God. Oh, in Christ. Look at verse 11, too. Then said Ziba to the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. Now, I remember, I think it was Bruce Crabtree I was talking to one time, and he said, Mephibosheth's sitting at the king's table, right? His lameness is not seen. His legs are covered by the table. He's sitting as one, as an heir, at the table of God. And look at verse 10, right? Verse 9. Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thee my master's son all that pertaineth to Saul and all his, and to all his house. He was given everything that was lost. Restored. And he shall eat continually in the Lord's presence. Or in the king's presence. We shall eat continually in the Lord's presence in heaven. Oh. When the Lord saves us, we dine at His banqueting table. We dine at His banqueting table. Not just once, but continually in the hearing of the gospel preached. And we rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ because He's our hope. We don't have hope anywhere else. Hope and trust, right? Hope and trust only in Christ. Only in Him. Fetch and grace. Oh, that if you're lost and you're one of the Lord's sheep, that He'd fetch you. Oh, that He'd send the Holy Spirit to fetch you and draw you to Christ. That's all He's done for we who believe. It's not anything we did. It's all for His glory and His honor and His praise. And we shall eat at the Lord's table continually. Continually.